Welcome to the talk show worth talking about, Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, with your co-hosts, Kevin Hogan, founder of the Healing Stigma Program, and Scott Fullerton, voice of Left of Straight Radio. From A-list entertainers to hometown heroes, join Kevin and Scott as they interview those on the cutting edge of challenging stigma with insight, humor, and always compassion. Give them your ears and they'll open your mind. For positive talk with positive results, you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. Now here are your hosts, Scott and Kevin.
Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. It is Thursday, July 7th, into a brand new month here. I'm your co-host, Scott Fullerton, as always with my wonderful co-host, Kevin Hogan. Kevin, how are we doing tonight?
Well, we have a very warm one, even here in the East Coast this evening. So how is it where you are?
It's not that bad. I told you I made the mistake of going down to South Carolina to my brother's for the 4th of July weekend. So I left
I didn't hear it was a mistake. I heard you were traveling. Go ahead.
A good time was had by all, but it was basically good. I left the balmy Northeast Ohio of 80 degrees and 79% humidity to 98 degrees and 97% humidity. So it's nice to be back in Ohio again on that front. But it's summer.
Gotcha.
What do you want, right?
Yeah, no, we've got some as long as it just keeps rolling by and keeps moving quickly, the only problem is I've got a couple of old dogs, especially a little Chihuahua, who you really can't explain fireworks to. So we're kind of happy Independence Day has come and passed. And, you know, we got that all out of the way. And now it's nice, hot, sticky, and peaceful.
There you go. Well, we'll make it through one month at a time. Well, June, now we have July and August to go. In September, it's going to start getting cool again. So might as well enjoy,
I guess,
while we have it.
Oh,
we have
we
that
love it.
Balmy breeze
it.
Coming in off the Irish Riviera Bay to keep you cool, right?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of blowing around down here, I tell you. We've got all kinds of great stuff going on this week. So what's up with you there? What's new, my friend?
Well, all sorts of fun things going on. This was my official second start of the year for my second year into broadcasting. So I've been podcasting now for 2 years officially as of this week. So that was exciting news. And,
well, I think the news actually for the show, we should say that we're going to turn the tables a little bit later, and I'm going to interview you. You're going to be the guest tonight on Healing Stigma Radio, because after this wonderful year for Left of Straight, I figure what better way to learn from someone who recognizes, I think, a lot about Healing Stigma than yourself. So I just want to prepare our listeners. We're not sliding over that, but that's one of the reasons why tonight we're going to be talking.
Well, I appreciate that. And we are going to make the night a little bit about us tonight. We have had some great guests ever since the beginning. We did have the Groovalottos scheduled to come in today, but we know how the entertainment business is, and they had something come up last second, and you got to pay the bills. So that's we understand how that goes here. So we're going to go ahead and make it a little all about us tonight. And we're going to have them back very soon. Next week, of course, we have Tara Radcliffe and we have Samson coming up and so many other great places. But tonight we're just going to take some time. We'll talk about the news a little bit. You have some great – you had a great article come out. Oh, my goodness. In Lesbian Review. We need to talk about that in a second.
Thank you.
There's lots of stuff happening in the news. So let's go ahead and
loads
start there.
Loads of stuff in the news. Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you. It's just – we have another one of those – speaking of stigma, I mean, we have another one of those shootings last night or yesterday. We have down in
Baton Rouge,
Louisiana.
We
have another gentleman killed by a couple of police officers down there. And
Alton Sterling.
And it's very quick to judgment, but it's another one of those things that the optics of it are not looking good. And it's really... Black lives do matter, and this is going to be a big challenge once again for their community and all of us to kind of show support behind it.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and this is the whole thing about, you know, a label or a stigma, and it's more than that as well when you look at it from other directions. But from one of the things that I'm understanding and following and looking at this so carefully from so many different ways. There's even a new report out that looks at from different races what happens when people are applying for jobs. And it's literally looking at the language that is applied to, say, someone who is rather timid, as a it would be a Caucasian applicant, is often seen as humble. And in other minority groups, including African American, if someone is rather timid, it means they don't have oftentimes the confidence for the job. Now, again, I'm not the scientist that conducted this survey, but in other words, if the same thing is going to be seen differently simply because of race or simply because of how one looks on the outside, and if the particular race that you are, if something happens and you're treated differently in terms of how you are treated by something as we would consider as basic as law enforcement, and that's more dangerous for a certain you know, a large percentage of Americans, this is something that should concern us all. And so the Lives Matter is something that is so, so incredibly important. It's, you know, this comes on the heels of, I'm trying to remember the actor's name. I'm sorry I don't watch enough TV to our audience because I am occasionally writing, with nothing on, no handheld devices, just a pen and paper even at times. I know I'm a Luddite, but remind me here, Scott, if you know it, wasn't there that there was a wonderful acceptance speech at the BET Awards in which, I'm trying to remember the actor's name, and he put it so eloquently.
I just read that yesterday. I know it came up yesterday.
I'm blanking, and I'm so sorry I'm blanking on radio here, but it's because I care about this so much. His speech was fantastic in what he said.
ESPYs the night before last, I believe, and it was beautiful.
I thought it was the BET. Anyway, I'm not exactly, but it's absolutely that type of thing that this concerns us all. This concerns the safety of our nation moving forward for its citizens. And the amount of lives lost due to this, it is, however we look at it, you can take it from so many different angles. There is going to be, discussion that apparently there was a gun found in Alton Sterling's pocket. I am not placing blame here. Obviously, this is going to be looked at. I think the FBI is already the one, that is going to be looking at it independently or investigating, or the Justice Department. But in all these different things, is whether you're approaching it from gun violence, whether you're approaching it from, the racial perspective, which is so important to look at it from, and from law enforcement perspective in our communities, there is in every way, shape, or form him the need to see human beings fully and respectfully, and not first to be, in a way of, as obviously it comes up with someone like Trump about, profiling. Once you strip away the respect of a full human being and treat them otherwise, that person feels it, but so does their whole entire culture, race, whatever it's going to be, then begins to feel it when others are stripped of their identity as well. It's really dangerous.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like I said, it's preliminary for what we know right now. I mean,
yep.
I haven't been able to listen to the news today, but from what I was seeing yesterday, we have that camera, but from the witness that saw, the last thing they saw was him on the ground with the officer on the ground, but then it went blank after that when you heard shooting. So you don't really know what happened there. Supposedly the officer's body cameras were knocked off. There is a camera, I guess, from the store itself.
Yep.
But then you hear that there was a disturbance call, the 911 call, but then you also find out that he had been there, Alton had been there before. I forget what he was doing. He does something in front of the shop and had permission from the owner to be doing that. So
he was selling CDs or maybe movie DVDs or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Something like that.
Right.
That sounded like. I mean, look, doesn't this remind people of the gentleman that was selling cigarettes and then was killed in a chokehold?
Right, in New York City,
right.
You're right.
And so the complaint came in that there was someone selling cigarettes, I think it was illegally or, individually or whatever. And this is, again, I mean, look, here's the thing. If you have someone conducting business kind of on the fringe or whatever, trying to make ends meet, and I'm not judging, I don't know enough information here, but oftentimes a complaint or whatever then that comes in, this also has a lot to do with absolutely – I'm not taking away from the from the racial implications here that are so powerful and so important, but there's also economic implications here.
Right.
Exactly. And so again, when you put all of this, I mean, it was seen, I think, as a way of I'm not exactly sure, but in the case where the gentleman was put in the chokehold, I think they were going. It was even from like a tax evasion special squad that had to do with looking at how cigarettes were being sold. I mean, if someone dies over selling cigarettes? I mean, really?
Right.
You know, is that? I mean, exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know what tobacco can do. I'm not joking. But seriously, in that situation, that's that. You know, it's going to result in the person's death. Is the community immediately at that moment in time really at that much risk that the person has to be taken down in such a way that they wind up dying? I find that really, really hard to stomach for an entire population that are Americans to then feel threatened by law enforcement because of their skin color. That is outrageous, and we all need to feel in all different groups as we go forward with, you know, the ability to vote, to see if that is something that we can change in this year coming forward, or at least affect in a positive manner so people don't feel left out and threatened more in the country we call home.
Exactly. And it comes 2 weeks after the Freddie Gray, one of the officers, Freddie Gray trials.
Yeah.
About the gentleman that was healthy going into the police van and then suffers some kind of a broken neck or back injury. And because of that, so will never have the black experience, but I mean, you've had your high stigma experience. Being gay, you get some type of resistance from people. We're never going to have the full experience because they're not going to know our status maybe going into it, but you can empathize. And like you said, we all have to empathize with everybody, no matter your black, white, red, yellow, whatever. It's a common experience that we all can relate to in one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, all I can say is I come from a city that I'm old enough to remember things like forced busing in Boston and the racial tensions that I grew up with. And I'm proud, very proud to say that, you know, we can learn as a country, as communities, we can learn, we can improve. There will be, obviously, throughout all of this, there are such dire needs to have real dialogue. This is another reason. I know I'm going maybe a bit off topic, but this is why we're giving ourselves a little bit of extra time here. This is another reason why I get so upset when real dialogue isn't going on about these important topics, and instead it's just a bunch of, say, name-calling or stigma-creating in politics when we aren't having really meaningful dialogues. And so that's another reason why I think we need to bring these issues up going forward in you know, where your vote is and where it counts, because we have these issues that we can now make a difference and learn from. You know, it's again, talking about the idea of throwing stigma around, there was an ad that was first, I guess, something to do with white supremacists. We're using an ad that had the outline of the Star of David on a pile of money, and then this same ad appeared, I believe, with Trump campaign support about Hillary Clinton. And it was so clearly an outline of the Star of David on a pile of money. It was so clearly an anti-Semitic ad. At least when I saw it, that's the first thing I saw before I even knew that it was taken from the design of a white supremacist. I first saw it. It just stood out so clearly in design. You notice these things. And so, you know, when you see these things subliminally put in there, it is really a year to call that out. Anything that is laying unfair stigma, I am so charged and ready to call that out. That's, you know, yeah, I can't say that I'm sensitive to all of it. We can't be. It's really hard, but that's part of what this work is. People show me all the time and remind me, hey, you know, this is stigma here, Kevin. Check this out. And sure enough, they're almost always right. And it always has a detrimental effect, not just to the individual, but to the community as well if it's not addressed.
Exactly. And the violence is becoming such more prevalent. I mean, I was talking to someone today. They had a little town called College Station in Texas, a real small town in Texas. They have a pride picnic every year. And usually about a couple hundred people show up, 200 to 300 people show up for it. But they had to cancel this year just the other day because of threats of violence. Someone had actually threatened some violence. So the leaders called it off because just in Texas alone, they had 3 separate mass shootings in the last week, not LGBT, any in particular individual, but there was
just
just in Texas in 1 week, they had 3, 5 people were killed, 14 people were injured. It's just, things are getting out of control, and it's going across all boundaries of race, religion, sexual orientation, and everything. So it's something that we really need to pay attention to. Like you said, it goes across all spectrums. It goes through our lives and protecting our loved ones. It goes to our politicians who we elect and what they're going to do about it. So it just, there's so many cross points there that connect.
Well, you know, I saw this, I'm not doing any kind of advertising here, but I saw this, it was a stand-up comedian by the name of Jim Jeffries. He's I'm trying to remember, he's from Australia, I think, and he's now here in the States, and he's done some special there. But he did a couple of things. He did a thing on gun control in Boston that people can Google and think it's, you know, whatever on YouTube, whatever. They can see that. It was mind blowing when a foreigner can somewhat, you know, give Americans a different view. And so, you know, I'm always trying to look for these different things. But in another special that he did, you know, he basically shows how many free countries, let's say, there are on the planet. And he says, you know, by the way, there are some freedoms that America doesn't rank number one in. You know, and he's trying to go around and show all these different things and just say, you know, there are some relative things here. Because he says, all my hate mail is all the same, starting off with, you're not an American, you don't know anything about freedom. So he said, you know, it's strange, you know, and he said, and once he did the gun control thing, it rocketed him into a whole nother, and basically I say this, it's not for everyone. Some people might be offended by it. He says some very offensive things, and so I'm not advertising his comedy, but he basically compares gun owners today saying, look, I'm a responsible gun owner. I shouldn't have to give up my guns when we have all this violence, to people saying years ago, look, I'm a responsible slave owner. I shouldn't have to give up my slaves. He says, we've reached a moral tipping point here where don't you see that? It's an amazing comic, and
wow.
Again gets a conversation going here that blow, and he gets hate mail by the droves, but as he said, I get all the hate mail starts out the same, which is, you're not an American, you don't know anything about freedom. And then he goes on to list all the countries that are democratic free countries and where
right,
our freedoms
right.
are in the, it's just fascinating. It brings up a conversation for people to think about in this that we need to have. Without conversations, when you're only hit by those 30-second or less political kind of, kind of stigma-creating punches in the stomach, it doesn't allow you to have that next thought. And I really think, you know, gun control, violence, stigma, creating community. Because remember, as you know, the work I do with the Department of Health and Human Services, from people that are doing good work, you see how or what happens after the violence is over, and the victims and the harm that this does to people and their children and their children's children. It is worth making the change for the better. Trust me, people.
Indubitably. We'll take a quick break. I want to come back in a couple seconds. I want to talk all about the article for the Gay and Lesbian Review. I want to talk about all the changes that are happening in healing stigma. We got the new website and all these services we're offering. But let's take a quick break.
Before we do, can I just end on one positive current event note in case we don't know about this? I'm not sure if this is true. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but we're from that age group. We now know that, though, for a positive effect in law enforcement, that Eric Estrada, have you heard about this?
I haven't heard of that, but I know Eric Estrada as a kid, yes.
Good. Because you know this. If you don't know Eric Estrada, then you're too young. You're not going to get it. Just hang in there. We'll get to the music episode in a second. But Eric Estrada has officially been sworn in, I believe, as a highway police officer in Idaho. So he's now become the real-life Chips. No, not Chips, because that was from California.
Goodness.
But he's now become a sworn-in motorcycle law. You can imagine if you're driving somewhere in Idaho and you get pulled over by Eric Estrada. You're like, wait a second, I'm on a movie set. I just wanted to put that out there. Congratulations to him. I hope it's something that he does safely and wonderfully and people feel protected, because I know it was a dream of his, he said, for many years to do it. So I just wanted to put that little positive note for some of our TV generation.
Well, God bless Eric Estrada and Larry Wilcock just for looking good in those tight CHP pants, I'm telling you.
I knew you'd remember. Good job, my friend. All right, go ahead. Introduce the music.
All right. We're going to go ahead and play Matt Van Fossen. He's an up-and-coming country star that I had my show a couple weeks ago. I did his first LGBT interview with me, and he's just an amazingly talented country artist. So you're listening to Healing Stigma and Left of Straight with Kevin Hogan and Scott Fullerton. This is Matt Van Fossen with Time Ain't What It Used to Be.
Can it
Was Matt Van Fossen with Time Ain't What It Used to Be. All right, Kevin, I want to talk about this. You had this great article come out last week. It's a Gay and Lesbian Review. They've been around forever. They're so prominent. Congratulations on the article. Tell us a little bit about how it came about and tell us about the review a bit, if you could.
I'll first say is just thank you for just talking about it. It's literally just out in the July-August edition of the Gay and Lesbian Review Worldwide, which it is now. Richard Schneider, the editor there, the person who started it all the way back when it was the Gay and Lesbian Review at the Harvard Gay and Lesbian Review. And hopefully, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed, we're in negotiations, so I don't want to set a particular date, but while this is on the newsstand, we're going to try and get Richard in on the show as a guest as well to discuss how, you know, so I don't want to take away all of that, but in terms of...
Fantastic.
You know how we hear oftentimes for our community, there's a history, we now have talking about things that bring pride out when we also have the adversity of things like the Orlando shooting. But when, right. When President Obama makes the announcement of, I want to get it right. It's a national historic in New York for ground zero for the movement for pride. What was the national historic monument made there?
The Stonewall.
Yeah. What is it called? Is it a National Historic Monument, I think?
Historic Monument. Mm-hmm.
Site, National Historic Site. Right. Stonewall is now a National Historic Site. So, you know, oftentimes I hear people from inside the community, from outside the community, you know, where do we learn more of our history? Where do we find things that are, you know, not just current, but where does it come from? Where does this, you know, influence come from? Well, oftentimes it comes from literature. Oftentimes it comes from writers, art, and others like that. And I think there is such great writing going on, that one of the things that I've seen is in having at least been invited to write this guest opinion article is some of the great work that the Gay and Lesbian Review does. And of course, as a bisexual, I'm thrilled to be asked to write this, because bisexual isn't in the title, but it's oftentimes when the B is assumed, it might not necessarily be represented, because we all know when we talk about that word assume, the danger's there.
Right, exactly.
But no, I was treated just with absolute respect, and with I'm so thrilled that in this edition, basically at a time when I think and I will tell folks that this went to press for the print edition, it had already been written before Orlando happened, but the timing of it, you know, is is just incredible. So with social media, with the things that go on nowadays, I don't want to give away the whole article. People can obviously Google it, and we are going to have hopefully we'll have some other announcements about how people can check out the whole article. But one very quick way, obviously, I'll just say this, is by going to the Gay and Lesbian Review website, and they can either get a subscription, which I'd always encourage, and they can also, I believe, order or just, you know, buy this one particular edition or check on their newsstands. But in a nutshell, my story, my backstory of healing, of where healing stigma came from when I was, stigmatized as a high-profile victim of it, it actually, without going into the whole thing for people that have already heard it or for people that want to read this article, there was the story, the fishing vessel there that sunk in what was called the perfect storm. And I'm not saying that my case was a perfect storm of stigma, but it was a multiple-level stigmatization. And that started to kick off in my mind where help might not be for people, even when people are stigmatized in just one way. But when I was stigmatized, after decades of teaching and during a time of not teaching and having suffered poverty, taking legal work in the adult gay industry, but being married, ambush, this news media cycle figured, oh, we've got something here, so I'm labeled the porn star teacher, ultimately taking away or ruining, due to stigma, a teacher's career, putting in jeopardy, as they would think, or as people would like to see the salaciousness of it, a marriage to a woman who this can't be real, that must be a sham, and God knows what else the gentleman must be hiding if this is what we called him out on in the evening news. So when you look at it, people were starting to realize in the beginning one or two of these things, but when you have the stigma of workplace stigma, the stigma of sexual orientation stigma, that very few people realize, well, what if this person is bisexual? What if their partner is bisexual? And it so happened that we were, that you get in these, how should I say, the moments of being the exception to, say, some of the rules or the exception to the stigma. The fact that I've also had the, decades of experience of designing curricula, that you then get to a point where there is a way to, say, approach this from a multiple stigma level. And I don't know if I said it, but also the stigma of poverty. And so then there are all of these other stigmas that I have been learning from and looking at and where Healing Stigma, the program, comes from. But ultimately, yeah, it's an article about how that perfect storm occurred and in that how the vessel that I'm on now was kind of righted and found its course.
That is awesome. And the Gay and Lesbian Review, it's a very prestigious publication. If those that aren't familiar with it, it's been around since 1994. And I've kind of seen it from time to time. I don't see it. It's only done every other month, and so I don't catch everyone.
Right.
But it's like I really like it. It has like the old Saturday Night Post or the Saturday Evening Post kind of characters in the front and everything, which is a lot of fun on all their different things, which is really cool. And it's really very inexpensive. I think it's like $9.95 for a year of web access, or if you want the print delivered to your house, it's like $23. So it's very reasonable.
I really encourage people. It is, and all I can say is the reason why it comes out when it does is it comes out when it has something to say that is really, really, I think for our community, really interesting. There's so much in there that puts what I would say a different light on something that you may otherwise think you know about it. For me, as I said, when I read it cover to cover, and I have now for the past few issues, I just come away feeling like I've really opened up so much more about what's going on in our community and therefore feel more pride in what I do. It shines back on what I do, and I really enjoy that.
Exactly. I'm really looking forward to having them on and learning a little more about it because it is such an interesting history to the publication, and I really do enjoy reading it when I can. Now, talk a little bit, what's happening on Healing Stigma? Last time we talked, we have a new website that looks absolutely amazing. But talk about some of the programs and what's been happening recently with that.
Well, I don't want to get too political, but everything is these days. And the one thing I just want to say that's been happening recently is I've been, and I think I mentioned this before, this is probably continuing on from the website redesign and, relaunching and working with organizations. I don't want to pass this over, but I still so much enjoy the personal coaching, working with individuals, working with organizations to help to, their own like stigma sensitivity workshops. But as of late, working with organizations that have also wanted and looked at, you know, the result of either finding stigma in the workplace, wanting to combat it, I have met both from, you know, established businesses to brand new startup entrepreneurial spirit here in America. Such wonderful people that want to eliminate stigma, have a diverse workplace, appreciate, you know, what a diverse workplace means for productivity, that I get so enraged when sometimes I turn on the news again in certain, you know, venues, and all I see oftentimes is a Trumpish aspect of grab everything, a greediness of business-like acumen that is the standard that we're seeing, because that's the way an angry mob ought to react if they feel their slice of the pie is being taken away by someone who doesn't deserve to be here. And that so enrages me, because at least instead of being enraged, instead of just being angry, and this is the other side of it, by doing something about it, by working with organizations that I have already and continue to now, it's, as I said, it's getting, you know, it heats up by the day, and I'm so thrilled to do that. You see the people that are, you know, a single mother who is also the starter of a business, a successful business, and wants to make sure that other young women, you know, in whatever that field might be it law, be it a technical field, wants to hold that door open for others. That just motivates me when that person says, hey, I want you to come in and talk about, you know, how do we, you know, eliminate stigma in the workplace. If someone feels, before they feel stigmatized, I want to have you come in and talk to the people that are in my business, because I want to grow my business right. You know, and these people just motivate me for what they're doing. And at the same time, let's just say this. I know it's kind of going backwards into our current events discussion here, but in Massachusetts, we did have a young woman, a teen, who was charged in manslaughter for the texting encouragement of a boyfriend in his suicide. I don't know if this is something that's reached national level, but again, it was being looked at. And I don't know if there's another court of appeals. I'm not exactly sure at which level this is, but in the sense that there is this argument here of freedom of speech, but in this sense that the texting was to the point where, unfortunately and tragically, she was telling the young man to get back in the car, and of course he died terribly of asphyxiation, and he was in a vehicle that was running, and you know, had the exhaust running into the vehicle, and so it's tragic on every level. But there is a case here that's playing out that is looking at, again, the dangers of words. The impact of words. We can have freedom of expression. We can have the freedom, I believe, to arm yourself and have a sensible way to own guns. But it's when it becomes really hurtful to others as individuals, hurtful to others as a group, that I do believe we have a sensible, intelligent way of addressing these things. And if we don't already, then we certainly have ways of going forward and learning from our mistakes so we do address them in the future. And that's where, you know, at least for the Healing Stigma program, if I just do it with individuals, but those individuals are going into organizations and workplaces where then they're feeling stigmatized again, then my work oftentimes is for naught. So I would say most recently, my hat just has to go off to also forward-thinking organizations that I also believe are looking at the data and the analysis that they realize, you know, I could be getting this one wrong, but just, you know, losing one worker to depression as opposed to getting the, you know, the counseling, the help that is necessary, it can be as much, I believe, in missed time as something in the vicinity of, you know, $20,000 a year in missed work time or more.
Right, and I think we learned with companies like Google and all these tech companies that are finding such innovative ways around their company, where they're bringing daycares in and massage therapy. I think this is going to be the next step where we start looking over mental health of their employees and things like that. I think it would be fantastic to have these seminars and bring you in and do things like that, or your kind of group.
Well, the need for it, but you know me, I get excited when I interrupt here, but the need for it is also, is look at that as well. Is, you know, look at the tech industry and look at how, you know, in many ways, at how the level of young women entering the field hasn't really grown. You know, we want people to be there. We want it to be a diverse field. And why? Is it, you know, there clearly are young women that are so bright and intelligent in the sciences and the tech field. So this is just, you know, another avenue where, you work at it from the side that you can work at it. For me, as I said, my multiple instance of stigmatization and then having a way to come back and peel that back and then being able to offer something as a response to that just seems to hit all these other different, you know, areas of stigma in which if you can take – think of it this way. If you could take bullying out of school, how much better would it be for the school?
Right, exactly.
And so oftentimes in this, what I'm trying to say to people is not only have I worked at removing the label of stigma from my life so that I can live it productively, but if I can help a workplace remove that label or that ability to stigmatize, with at least to make sure that it's recognized. Because after I can tell you this, after I've been in to do one of my counseling sessions, people recognize it when it's going on. And that's the important part, is to begin that conversation. Well, let's face it, don't adults also want a free and, you know, free from that kind of unfair judgment place to work in? So if we start that in the workplace, as well as trying to create schools that don't have bullying, then we actually look at a life that grows up in which people are well-adjusted and be able to be part of their community.
Exactly. I love that. That's fantastic.
Well, that's what we're trying, my friend.
Flip the switch on you. We always give our guests information. Why don't you go ahead and give, just, I'm sure we have it out there, but give out the website and where they can actually follow you on Twitter and on Facebook.
Oh, sure. Well, I'll tell you this. The easiest thing to do, what I would love them to do, is to go and just check out www.healingstigma.com. There's a place there to sign up for the newsletter. Please do so. We're going to have some great stuff coming out there. And literally, when they go on, they will see all of, in the upper right-hand corner, the ability to go on Twitter, Facebook. All of the click-throughs are right there, how they can follow. I just like them to check out the website first, and from there, all the social media is right there and available. That would be, in my mind right now, the thing I would love people to take a few seconds to, and to go look at. And, of course, also, please take out a moment from your day and check out healingstigmaradio.com, and please follow us there on Twitter as well.
Well, they better be doing that after listening to that. We're going to come.
You like that?
Good segue. Good segue.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm so excited about all the great stuff that's happening. We're going to go ahead and take small little break. I'm going to listen to our good friend Jay Knight, Living for the Memories. When we come back, Kevin's going to put me on the hot seat for a little bit. You're listening
to you hear that? Living for the Memories. That's a great segue. That's a great segue. We're going to start unpacking some of your memories from this past year and try to see what we can do to put you on the hot seat. I like it.
There you go. Well, you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left to Straight Radio with your host, Kevin and Scott. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. Here is Jay Knight, Living for the Memories.
Single second that will stand the test of time. Waiting for a moment that's already passed you by. Don't you want to know what you've been missing? What you've been living blind? Life is what happens when you're making up a plan. Here and now, all we have to live is not present. Here and now, hold on tight, we're living for the memories. You feel the violence, those memories tear you up inside. You break the silence. Single second that will stand the test of time. Waiting for a moment that's already passed you by. Don't you want to know what you've been missing? What you've been living blind? Life is what happens when you're making up a plan. Here and now, all we have to live is not the present. Here and now, hold on tight, we're living for the memory. No need to sorrow, no need to feel the pain with you.
No need for angels, demons, or fables, praying to gods that don't come through.
Dream as if you'll live forever. Live as if you'll die today.
I don't even know anything is even real. Nowhere and nowhere. Losing time.
Life is what happens when you're making other plans.
Here and now.
All we have to need is our energy.
Here and now.
Hold on tight when living for the memory.
Well, that was our good friend Jay Knight with Living for the Memories, and I always love hearing Jay's music because it always reminds me that he does so much great work to help end bullying, works with the group Stand for the Silent. And when I think of people doing really good work, then, well, you know, it's finally time to get our next guest. He's a little shy. I know he doesn't spend that much time on this side of the counter when it comes to being interviewed, but now my good friend Scott Fullerton is celebrating a very important anniversary, and so I'm going to ask Scott to first tell us what is this anniversary and maybe a little bit about in the beginning, because I find this story so, again, a story of turning what, you know, can be adversity into true, you know, something wonderful for our community. So, Scott, congratulations, first of all. What's this anniversary about, and what happened over a year ago now?
Well, thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate it. This is a big step for me. What happened, for those that haven't heard the entire backstory, in January of 2015, I actually quit my job and moved back in with my parents to take care of my father. He has been ill for a long time, but he had his first heart attack when he was like 37 years old, and disability retired when he was 47. So, but luckily he lived to a great age, and last year, when he was 76 years old, they decided he needed some full-time help at home. So I quit my job, came back in January. We thought we'd have about 3 years, and I kind of came there and was able to help just kind of get him moving in the morning and make dinners and not have to do too much. We had a nurse came in, but I would do all the grocery shopping and all the errands and just really kind of help my parents out the best I can.
Wonderful.
But as you know, caregiving, you kind of have to have your own mental health too. I mean, you know about that, for healing things.
Very
you need
important.
To have some time for yourself as well.
Burnout,
so I decided,
is huge.
So I wanted to do this something that I could do for me. So I was listening to a lot of podcasts at the time. I had some activism background with being the chairman of the LGBT Pride Center here in Northeast Ohio, where I'm from, and
right.
always been interested in gay rights issues. And I loved entertainment and foodies and reading. So I thought, how can I combine that for something for me to do? And I decided to step my big toe in the pool of podcasting. And so that was June 30th of last year, 2015. I did my very first show.
Wow.
It's just the audacity of dumb luck and being fearless on who to ask. My very first show, I had Ben Patrick Johnson out of LA, who people might not know the name, but they've heard him 1,000 times, didn't know it. He's one of the biggest voice actors in the country. He announces almost all the movies you hear in the theater in the coming next week or in a land far, far away type things.
In
and,
an age when no one had popcorn money, at a time when no one could smell melted butter. We know that voice.
Patrick
it's true.
Johnson.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he had
we know
just
it.
Got
we
married
know
to his partner at the time, and it was 4 days after the marriage equality ruling at the Supreme Court, June 30th. It happened June 26th with the marriage equality ruling, and one of my good friends here from Northeast Ohio, Kelly McCracken, was one of the plaintiffs in that suit. Of course, Jim Obergefell is the lead plaintiff, and he's the one that everyone knows, but Kelly and her wife, Kelly No, were the second plaintiffs in it, and so they were at the Supreme Court, and I knew her from the area. She was in a band here called the Kellys. And I had
brilliant
her
timing
as my first guest as well. So I had some really cool first guests on. And
yeah,
just kind of took off from there.
Do you find, now here's the thing, because I found when I first started doing, you know, the first couple of interviews, and then, you know, when I was invited to be on your show, how can I say this? You know, there's some people that just ask the questions that are, you know, I know you do your research, but the thing is, you've got the fire in the belly for it. And there's people that sometimes they, you know, they learn on the fly or whatever, but did you just have it to begin with? Was it something that you had to, did you have an inspiration from someone? But I found it, you were such a wonderful host when I was a guest, you know what I'm saying? That I was so, so happy to do the show with you, because I find you're so wonderful when you treat others that you get people to tell things and tell stories in a way that makes for great podcasting. You know, there's some people that can just, you know, do the news and move on. But where do you think that, is it a natural style? Is it something that you've had to learn over the year? Where does it come from?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Actually, what it is, it's kind of a blessing and a curse. As I'm a one-man band, I find all of my own people, right?
Yeah.
And so I go after people that I am truly a fan of. So I come at it from an entire, I don't have a team of producers out there finding all these guests to come on the show. I'm actually going after the guests. So I find people that really interest me. And when I find those people, it's just such a curiosity. I am having more fun than the listener, I think, is because I'm actually getting to talk to them live. And I think that comes through a little bit to the listener. So I think that may be where it comes from, but I'm not sure.
I think that's the sense. It's not really, maybe I'm probably not calling it the right word. It's not really research. You're a fan of that information, whatever you're tracking down. And that's the thing, I think, so that when someone's on the show, like I said for myself, I was like, wow, this is a really worthwhile show doing, because these questions, this person knows what they're, you know, they know what they're asking. And, you know, after a few interviews, you start to get the people that have done the research and those that are interested in what you're doing and those that might need to just, you know, fill up another guest chair for that week. And I love, I'm always happy to do an interview if it's for Healing Stigma, Healing Stigma Radio. But I get it. I think that's something that for me, as I do this now on our show, I really am, how can I say this? I'm always in awe of our guests, and that's why I'm so glad. I still want the Groovalatos on, but I'm so glad to be able to turn this around, because, Scott, I just got to say it. From all the guests, I learn a little something, but from you, I learn so much every week. I just wanted to say that. I know that's not a question.
I learned so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I really do.
And it is a lot of research, too. That is the one thing I have learned, is I come at it from a fan sense, because I saw them in something and I fell in love with them, but then they've had 30 years worth of work. A lot of my people are been around for 30, 40, 50 years in the business of what they're doing in foodies. So there is research involved where you have to, I find interesting, fun things all the time, because you do have to do research, because you can only talk for so long without it being really too fanboyish. You know what I'm saying?
I come out from a fan
perspective, because I'm really, really interested, but then I have to do a little bit of research in the background just to see things that I might not be aware of. That I had a guest, I remember for sure, in January, I had this lovely lady, Joan Ryan, on, cabaret singer, fantastic personality, the beautiful voice, beautiful voice. And so I'm doing my research on her, and I find out that her dad was the creator and the instigator of all of the old, and I'm saying the wrong word, I'm going to call it a Muppet show, but do you remember Lidsville and H.R. Puff and stuff and all those shows?
Oh, yeah, even earlier. Wow.
Right.
H.R. Puff and stuff. Wow,
The Sid and Marty Croft. He was part of Sid and Marty Croft. Her dad was part of that. So he did all of the Sigmund and the Sea Monsters and all this stuff, which is something that I grew up on as a kid. So I find that in the research, and then that gives me an extra 20 minutes to talk about something. So it's fun things like that that I really enjoy.
let's go to one of the bigger threads, because now I'm really curious about this. In this year, when you look back at it, have there been maybe some, dare I say, bits of wisdom now as you've done these, or some insights, surprises, that now looking back on it, you can share?
Oh, man, surprises and insights. I've like I said, I've learned a lot. Unlike you, I learned something from every single guest. And
I couldn't believe you introduced me to someone who was in Dog Day Afternoon. Now, I know that might be totally off. Right? You know what I'm saying? So for me, there are some of those crazy things. But I even learned something, because, and I'm trying to remember, who, what was that? Who was that was in Dog Day? Now
that was
I'm
Dr. Vince Pellegrino.
Dr. Vince, right? So Dr. Vince was telling us not only that, but he was the mayhem fluffer who was sent out to go work up the crowd by the director in between takes, right? So we're always learning these things and these insights. But what I'm curious about is, you know, this past year now, for you, as you're looking at the movement, the LGBT movement, you know, I'm talking about Left of Straight, not Healing Stigma Radio, but Left of Straight. And it's been a really powerful year. How do you feel having done this, you know, podcast now in terms of, the people you've spoken with, the people you've had on, maybe dipping a little bit of a litmus, you know, paper in the mood right now, but how does it make you feel having spoken to all these people, even about where you see the program going next year and following? When I say insights, kind of like, what do you take from it after this year?
Well, a lot of really cool things is because marriage equality was so new, and I talked to so many people that wasn't even thought of in their lifetime. It wasn't thought of in my lifetime. So just the possibilities of things that go on, you have these young kids that are just so they don't remember the history. And I love learning the history because that's one thing that I love, history and reading. And we have all this, so many great equality pieces coming together. But there was so much struggle beforehand. And so I've learned from, Del Shores, who's famous for his Sordid Lives show and Southern Baptist Sissies. He was really one of the first playwrights to put a lot of that out there. And just hearing from the stories of how it first came when the plays would go to certain counties, he had to be careful where he picked to do the plays at. That was amazing. It's crazy. I've learned from a lot of different people. Greg Archer is become a good friend of the show, and he is I found him through a web series him and his buddy Jeff Donnell did called The You and the Me, and it's very kind of out there numerology, kind of a fun little take. It's almost like a Gilmore Girls for guys. It has a great dialogue. It's a great writer, and I love the writing of it so much. Then when I do the research on him, I found out that he's been doing interviews since the 1990s and interviewed everyone from Betty White to Captain Tennille to Cher to all these other people, and you find this whole other layer about people, and then they talk about the stories of back in the day when there was the Studio 54 and the things like this, and it's just those things just amaze me. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I stood in Studio 54, but we're not going to go into that story right now.
I'm marking it down as a future little tick here to get.
All right. I'll tell you later. Not right now. But now here's now let's move on to the next. Let's go into the into the crystal ball car here for a sec. And what I'd love to do now is say, you know, let's put a couple of dreams as well as maybe, you know, some real plans together here. But what are some of the shows you'd love to do in the future?
Well,
maybe
I have a couple of
dream guests
that I really want to do. I'm a huge fan for both, especially for Left of Straight entertainment show, but also for Healing Stigma. Rosie O'Donnell is a huge fan of hers. I think that would be a fantastic show. I actually talked to her son for one of my Left of Straight shows, but I'd love to get Rosie on one of the shows.
You know what I'm going to throw out here, since you got all these connections, and just so our listeners know, this isn't scripted. Scott has no idea to know what I'm going to say here. But I was reading a thing the other day about what Chelsea Handler's been doing about abortion stigma, and I found it very, very brave, and I found it extremely interesting. So she's another one that we may want to put out there as a dream show.
Oh, well, then last night I'm watching Chris Hayes on MSNBC, and he shows a video of John Cena, the wrestler from WWE. And I mean, that's a huge thing in the LGBT. I'm not interested in it, but John Cena is just this huge promo. And he is doing an entire PSA about how we need to start loving each other and how to respect the LGBT community and the black community. And it was the most amazing PSA I've ever seen. I just did not expect that coming out of his mouth for some reason. And he's just an amazing. It was a whole little clip on him, and he was doing an introduction to a Japanese country in Japanese, and it's just like there's people like that that you just don't.
Yeah,
you
it
really
surprises
start scratching
you. You're right.
The surface, and that's what I love doing, scratching the surface.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Chelsea Handler came out with this really serious thing in which she was, trying to, go through and help other women in this thing that oftentimes leaves the woman really, not feeling supported at the other end, but being a pawn of two political movements as opposed to, you know, who's there for the woman's sake. And I found it to be pretty pretty interesting and again, pretty brave based upon the fact that these are things that people don't necessarily have to do anything about. They've already got careers. They've already got things going. I think it's the same way what Margaret Cho shared that she does in kind of picking up, what was it, the, you know, in many ways helping the homeless, especially LGBTQ homeless youth, and in the work that Robin Williams was doing. You know, she doesn't have
exactly,
to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think Chelsea would be a fantastic guest because she has that humorous side, but she does have a serious side. And it's great when you can bring
yeah.
that out and see
yeah.
their activism that way. Like Ilya
Krupp had
on our show, which was a fantastic show on healing stigma. I'm going to have him for
yeah.
the first time on the Left of Straight show next week. And there's so much
great.
Stuff in the news right now about religion. And it's always an interesting topic to me because I was religious growing up, trying to find a religion, I guess. I was never,
mm-hmm.
my family never had a certain one. So I would try all these different ones. And just to have his strong faith, I've never had that. And I'm really looking forward to listening and learning more about that next week.
Well, you know, here's one. I'll tell you this. It was, again, that the comedian I was talking about earlier, Jim Jeffries. And he just put this thing out there. He's like, imagine this right now. You're 16 years old. You're Muslim. The only country you've ever lived in is America, so you're an American. And right now, one of the people running for president is talking about profiling, is talking about making sure that we have, how was it? There was, you know, naturally a ban on Muslims coming from countries that somehow
right.
we feel, you know, don't agree. And you're listening to all of these things, and he said, and I ask you, you know, what is the most radicalizing factor right now for, you know, a young Muslim American in that situation? And it was just these things that were bringing up incredibly important conversations, and that can be from a comedy skit, you know, if done well. And I see these same questions coming up from, again, when I work with, you know, the trauma-informed communities from, you know, working with multi-faith, you know, community leaders and congregation leaders. It's just, it's really good, as you say, when someone kind of takes you by surprise, be it that public service announcement, and they're going out of their way to doing more than just putting food on the table or actually trying to make the world a better place with whatever that, you know, whatever their special light, whatever their talent is, when they go out of their way to help others doing it, you're right. I think that makes for great podcasting and deserves to have light shown on it that oftentimes the regular news cycle doesn't care to or doesn't stir up enough, you know, headlines that seem salacious that they don't want to do it.
Exactly. And that is one
yeah.
of the bonuses we're finding on internet radio, too, is we do have that time to explore the talk. I mean, you and I joke about it all the time that we have an hour show that goes usually an hour and a half, but we actually have that luxury of kind of getting in and learning a little more than the average person can on a 5 to 7 minute news segment. So I think that's a fantastic
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
But
and I'm sure we're probably. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's what I'm hoping for in the coming year. I mean, the first year under the belt was really a learning year, and I didn't really try to do too much but learn the craft a little bit as it is, have some fun with it. It's like I said, it started out as something to do, and it turned into a passion of mine. So this
yeah.
year I want to try to actually turn it into a little more business. I mean, I've taken some great learning from you and what you've done with your business, and I think I really like to maybe start making some money off of this so I don't have to go back and find another job to support it. So I'll be looking
yeah,
for
people,
ways.
Yeah, people, listen to that. We want Scott staying in this business. We want Scott
exactly.
staying in this business.
Some sponsors out there, folks. We need sponsors for both shows, actually. But I'm going to start paying a little more attention to that and just finding those guests that we talked about, finding guests that that interest me, but really have
yep.
a little shine a light on things that maybe not everyone in our community knew about or heard about or noticed and kind of bring that out. So that's what I'm looking to do in the next year. I've had a very good year. I've been blessed, and I'm looking forward to hopefully keep doing it for a long time.
Well, you know what? Maybe this is saving a little bit for the last year, but can I tack one other thing on before we go over our hour probably? I'm not even watching the time. I've enjoyed this show so much. It's actually the first time since you had me on as a guest that it's just you and I talking. And that's
exactly.
that's what got me to do Healing Stigma Radio in the first place for our listeners to get it. But here's another thing I'm just going to throw out there. We had a chance to have the ladies from Same-Sex Dialogue on, and we've had a couple of conversations here. And I think of another thing that you've done. We've put together here, if you will, and it would be great, and we've said this before, and I know we can, is to get some voices from, you know, the transgender community in there, voices from other parts of our community in there. But we've done some stuff where we've had – you know, if you will, some pretty good conversations in which we've had, you know, myself as a bisexual, we've had the ladies on talking about it from not just a lesbian perspective, not just from, I would say, you know, but a regional perspective, again, from what's going on down in the South when they've spoken about it. And then you've come on with this incredible, you know, history of what has gone on in Ohio. And let's face it, Ohio is going to be another one of these hotbed political states coming up. So one of the things I really like, Scott, is when we have this, we talk a lot, again, about the rainbow community, or we throw the letters around, LGBTQIA. But, boy, you've put together some platforms here where we've actually had a number of voices come together and discuss the issues in a way that I do believe more of our community than is normally represented is able to talk about it. And as a bisexual leader, that's one of the things that I would say going forward is such a pleasure to be part of, and I would applaud you and encourage you to keep doing that, because that's when we actually show that we will have a stronger voice moving forward when all of these different, I would say, you know, when we see our voting potential, our ability to move forward, when we hear what affects all the different parts of our community in an informed way. And you've already done that a few times. And let's keep doing that as well, if I can just put that idea in the back of your mind.
Well, I definitely want to put it out there, and I appreciate you saying that. I think we do have a very strong voice. You are an amazing voice for the bisexual community. I try to keep myself informed so I can at least be a good spokesperson for the gay community. We found K-Town and Kim Stiles is amazing representative of the lesbian community and the South. You have the Northeast sector. I'm doing the Midwest sector. Yep. I've been able to talk to another show with people like Scott Turner Schofield in Southern California that's been
big
in the trans community. We have so many great people that we really need to try to find a way to bring this all together and really find different ways to do that. And I'm glad we have the forum to do it. We're learning, my friend. So who knows what's going to happen
show
in the future here.
Today's show isn't just an ad, but that is exactly why, and I would just say this again, go to the website for Healing Stigma Radio and check out if you're interested in any way of giving Scott more free time to do what he does so well, even though I know you love to pursue it, you wouldn't mind a few producers and some sponsorship to allow you to do even more of what you do so well. So I think today's show was this was really good that it happened. It was really necessary. And, boy, am I proud of you, and congratulations. I'm so glad we had this conversation, because going forward in this next year, you know, I try to say learn from mistakes, learn from everything that you do, and just keep making what you love. And you're just the embodiment of that. And here's the other thing. You did a great thing and are doing a great thing for your family. So, you know, double pops of the champagne bottle to you, Scott. Your quality. Thank you.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. And it's been my pleasure getting to know you even more as we've done this show. I'm so looking forward to all the great guests we have in the future. Like I said, next week we have Tara Radcliffe coming on. You may know her from the Bravo reality show, Newlyweds, the first year. Her and her husband put their first year of marriage on national TV, not something that many people would or should do. But she came out as a bisexual on the show, had the issues with that. She also had very huge nerve phobias. She actually, on the show, they were supposed to go to their honeymoon in Italy, and she couldn't do it. She had to turn around on the way to the airport because she had, like, claustrophobic things. So she has a lot of real interesting backstory. So she'll be on next week. We'll schedule the Groovalottos. I know we have Samson, an amazing comic, coming on in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And, again, we have Michael from the Gay and Lesbian Review. So we got some great shows coming. We've been also very lucky on this show to have just some fantastic.
I think it's
going to
be. I just want to make sure we get it right. We're going to have Richard Schneider Jr., the editor in chief at the Gay and Lesbian Review, on. We want to get that name right.
Super. Yeah. Exactly. We have some great things coming up. So it's been a great time. I'm sorry the Groovalottos couldn't make it today, but I had an excellent time talking to you. Thank you so much for letting me toot my own horn.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like doing it that often, but I appreciate that, and I'm so glad to hear all the great things going on with the actual Healing Stigma organization itself and your fantastic writing. So it was a great show.
It was a great show. All things happen for a reason, and I'm sure the Groovalottos were off making sure that their soul funk blues beats are entertaining good tapping feet somewhere probably closer to me than you. But everything, I think, tonight worked out the way it was supposed to be. So thankful, Scott, even though I know you might get embarrassed at times, that you were willing to do it, because that was really good podcasting, my friend. Keep it up. Congratulations on this first year, and many, many more to come. I'm looking forward to doing a lot of more great shows with you.
Me too, my friend. And listeners, please do us a favor. Go ahead and find us on iTunes and rate us. Give us a good rating on there. If you never want to miss an episode of Healing Stigma and Left of Straight Radio or the Left of Straight Show, use your smartphone, go to your iPhone app store, go to your Android app store, and download Left of Straight Radio. It's free. You can download it in seconds, and you will never miss. I think there's like 60 episodes up there right now, Kevin, of all the different shows we've done through Healing Stigma and Left of Straight. So that is free. Follow us at our website, healingstigmaradio.com. We do features on all of our guests there. You'll listen to every past interview and find out more about our guests. You can follow the conversation on Heal Stigma Radio, at Heal Stigma Radio on Twitter. We have a fantastic social media team keeping everyone up to date. And it's just been a pleasure getting to do this. And I'm looking forward to a second year on Left of Straight Radio and continuing a stellar year here on Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio.
Cheers, prost, slancha, whatever language it is. A nice glass of bubbly to you, Scott. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And look, guys, we'll see you next week right here on Thursday, 2 o'clock Pacific time, 5 o'clock Eastern time. For Scott and Heaven, Scott and Kevin, this is Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. You guys have a great evening. We're going to finish up the show tonight with a little bit of Andrew Heller and from his Sinatra classic, My Kind of Town. Have a great evening, everyone.
Now this could only happen to a guy like me, and only happen in a town like this. So may I say to each of you most gratefully, as I throw each one of you a kiss, this is my kind of town, Chicago. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of people, too. People who smile at you. And each time I roam, Chicago is calling me home, Chicago. Chicago is one town that won't let you down.